Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week I have a couple from Seaside, and we're going to talk about working together and what these two people do. I have Dr. Margaret Hammett McDonald, who is an acupuncturist and naturopath, and Seth Goldstein, who is a chiropractor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so So you two are married and practice together.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing that?
For 3 years.
Uh-huh.
We've been married for 16.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes. So you did other stuff before then.
Yeah.
Oh, I met her in the theology department in 1985.
The theology department where?
At Fordham University.
Oh, uh-huh. And then you were doing something different.
Well, I was studying classical and medieval philosophy and theology.
Oh, and what were you doing, Margaret?
I was an undergraduate going into medieval studies.
Oh, and then you both somehow made your way into healthcare.
Yeah. Yes. My grandmother practiced sort of traditional naturopathy, home medicine, Kneipp's water cure, and herbal medicine on my family, so I grew up with that. And eventually made my way back to it as a profession.
Uh-huh. And you went to the naturopathic school in Portland?
Yes.
And did you go through their Chinese medicine program?
I did. I started out just in the naturopathic program, and then in my third year entered the dual track, picked up Chinese medicine as well.
Uh-huh.
And she teaches there.
Oh, you teach there. Okay. And Seth, where'd you go to school?
I went to Fordham University for my bachelor's. I was working on my master's degree. And when I was 32, I had the question of, well, what am I doing with my life? And is it something that I love? So I did internal work and asked lots of questions and went to chiropractic college at the University of Bridgeport Chiropractic College.
Oh, okay. So you were in Connecticut.
Yes. I am the only one who has graduated from Connecticut in this state.
Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, it's interesting because University of Bridgeport offers a number of postgraduate continuing education courses and degrees online, including nutrition and some other like that. That's an interesting thing. I think a graduate that I went to school with is a teacher there in neurology. Okay, so what's it like working together? You share patients and
yes, we work together as a team.
That's great. Well, it sure seems like a natural blending.
We really enjoy it. It helps to have two heads and different ways of thinking about the same person.
Yeah. So now, naturopaths are trained in manipulation.
Yes.
And chiropractors are trained in, you know, dealing with the whole person. How do you, like, figure out who's going to do what?
We've been together so long that I think our minds tend to work as one. And I basically leave the physical medicine, the chiropractic manipulation therapy, and the positional release and other soft tissue techniques that he does to him, because he does a wonderful job with that. And my work with patients physically is with acupuncture, and sometimes I'll teach people qigong movements for their health.
Okay.
And then I mostly focus on botanical medicine, and together we do lifestyle counseling, nutrition, exercise, spiritual development, things like that.
That sounds great. Yeah, I think that's a lot often how it splits, because I have, you know, Dr. Erfling in my office, and I do the manipulation, and she does all that other stuff.
I make tinctures for patients too, and of course have to warn people about the lovely flavor.
Oh yeah. Since we work primarily with families, we haven't had so far more than 2 adults and 5 children at the same time. So, because we have a number of folding tables, we'll pull several out, and therefore, between the two of us and our medical assistant, we get to rotate through the office with all the different children.
Sometimes we'll see a couple and we're a couple, and then when we set up the second table, our medical assistant calls it double trouble. And we usually save the larger families for the last appointment of the day so that we can restore order to the space after they've departed.
Yes, there's one two-year-old who likes rearranging all the furniture. It's part of her development at this point to hold on to things and roll them, because she's learning about order and lining things up.
Ah. That's also, working together makes it easier to work with children, because I take the history from the parent and Seth is assessing their development by watching and playing with them.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
So do you adjust lots of kids in?
It's less adjusting them and more determining where is their development at and what's their goals and how do we get them to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are you seeing lots of kids with scoliosis or things like that?
We have a couple of children with scoliosis, and then we have the one child who had a walking problem because all she liked to do was run.
And she could only walk 10 feet. Can you imagine dragging a child to the dinner table who can only walk 10 feet?
Whoa.
So he kind of helped her retrain her muscles so that she was able to walk again, though I think her preference still is to run everywhere.
Yes.
Well, she just needs to get on the track team, right?
I'm hoping so.
No? Okay, so why don't we talk about the difference? I mean, chiropractic is a Western modality way of thinking, and actually naturopathic medicine is really, you know, Western, and yet then you have this blend with the Eastern, which is pretty different.
I think they work really well together, and I've been asked a lot about how to reconcile the sort of two halves of one's brain, especially by the students I work with in the Chinese medicine program at the National College of Natural Medicine. Many of them are dual track students like I was, and it's difficult sometimes when they're on a student shift with one type of practitioner to sort of shut off the other side of the mind. And I tell them that's the great thing about being in practice, is then you can bring the sides back together because they have a natural relevance to each other. But kind of in brief, Chinese medicine belongs to a larger philosophical umbrella, which developed thousands of years ago in China with Taoism and Confucianism. And the basic approach is that humanity is a microcosm of nature. And so we have weather and changes in the seasons and the phases of nature in the outer world. And then our human physiology reflects that. We have organs that are paired together that connect with wood and fire and other phases of nature. And when we're healthy, our expression of our internal geography and weather is in congruence with the natural world. And when we're not healthy, they're apart. You might have a person whose body is stuck in the winter while it's summer, or vice versa.
So, can you give an example of that?
Well, if you have somebody who has tremors, say essential tremor, a neurologic condition, that's wind. That's the expression of springtime that has been fettered or misdirected in some way. So instead of having free and easy movement, the person has this jerky movement that they can't control.
And so then balancing that spring with whatever season we're supposed to be in, then that the theory is that that gets rid of the tremor?
Exactly. And it can take some time to restore a person to their connection with nature. I remember with working with Dr. Dixon Tom, who's a naturopathic physician, he said that for every year that a person has been in a disharmonious chronic state, that often it'll take a month of care to restore them to where they were. Mm. So it's a journey.
Well, yeah, I know people will often come to us and say, you know, okay, I have this horrible problem. Make it better today. How long have you had it? Well, I've had it for a year and a half. I said, I don't think that's going to happen.
And why did it bother you so much now?
Right. Right. Well, people get to the point where they're like, today I can't handle it anymore. Can I get in today? Well, yeah, you may be able to get in today, but I don't think you're going to be done today. Yeah, people are unrealistic. They think, yeah. And that gives a guideline. Okay, if you've had it for a year and a half, it's probably going to take a while.
I try to share that with people so mm-hmm. they know what to expect, because mm-hmm. that's something that comes up as a challenge of patients who've been to other practitioners and have an experience of, I feel relief instantly or something different instantly, to share that this is something that's based on lifestyle and who you are and what you're doing. And so much of healing is about things you take control of and responsibility for yourself.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, people spend so much time externalizing that health comes from outside.
But it comes from within for the most part. that is my biggest challenge with patients, is that my job is to rebalance their muscles and their job is to go and strengthen them. Mm-hmm. And that's the internal. I cannot exercise for them. I cannot do the stretches for them. I cannot do all the eating for them. They must do all of that.
Right. I know. Right. We spend whatever, you know, half an hour with the patient, and then there's 23 or 23 and a half hours of the day that they have to make a million choices for towards health or away from health. So what do you do to help people get that idea that it's really their job?
One thing is to have them take small steps. I feel it's very important to present a non-judgmental approach, saying that, you know, I have challenges sometimes getting all the exercise I need or all the good nutrition I need, and here's how I do it, and what's most important to you, and we'll start with that, or what's most doable for you in this moment, and then they can feel a sense of small triumph of, yay, I ate a new vegetable this week, that was awesome, and can congratulate them, rather than sort of scolding themselves of, oh, I know I should eat more veggies, I know I should move a little more.
Right, I was bad this week.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to scold myself and hide in this corner.
We do a lot of demonstration. Like, I know I do between 20 minutes and 4 hours a day of rehabilitation. And we bicycle to work a lot. That is a form of exercise.
And our patients see us, and sometimes they'll toot their horn and sort of wave at us, which is just a delight that people recognize us riding along the road. Mm-hmm. I write a bicycle commuting column for Hipfish as well, and I hope that's an inspiring thing for people to read and enjoy.
We do explain that it's better if they roll their window down and put their hand out and wave.
Rather than
honk.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because honking is distracting?
Honking is illegal.
It's also,
unless it's in for danger.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, sometimes read the driver's manual.
Sometimes you get into your little riding groove and looking at nature and smelling things, and then suddenly you hear this loud sound. People don't realize how loud outside of a car that is.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It is. You know, you bring up an excellent point, which is that we as doctors need to set an example. And obviously when your patients see you exercising, they know that they're not being told something that you're not doing. You know, you actually live it.
Exactly.
I mean, if they would see you in a place eating a burger and fries and a Coke, that would kind of negate everything you said in the office about you need to eat more fruits and vegetables and stay away from fried stuff and highly processed foods, right?
We have a nut jar on the desk with almonds and other nuts in it, and just welcome people to take a handful, and also have our fresh peas to snack on and other things to demonstrate that, yes, it's not as hard to incorporate fresh fruits and vegetables into your diet. Some of these things are great and crunchy, and it's already prepared for you in this Insta-serving.
That is so true. We'll be right back. You're listening to Your Health. I'm with Dr. Margaret Hemet McDonald and Dr. Seth Goldstein.
Eu só quero um sol verdinho, pé de manga e de jasmim, muita fita do bom fim aqui no meu jardim. Quero figa de marfim, afastando o que é ruim, respirar pirlim, pim, pim, aqui no meu jardim. A chuva cai inundando o capim, do mesmo céu você veio pra mim.
We're back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with the couple, Dr. Margaret Hemet McDonald and Dr. Seth Goldstein, and we're talking about couples working together as doctors and in the same office, sharing the same people, same patients, and having a lot of fun doing it. So you guys do a lot of focus on neurology.
Yes.
And let's talk about that.
Okay. For some of our patients who have what's called dysesthesia, that's where when someone touches them to the injured nerve, it feels kind of like sandpaper, something other than what it should feel like.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that we teach them how to do is to take their fingers and gently touch that area towards their heart. And by repeatedly touching the injured area, the nerve goes back to the brain. And since the brain is very plastic, it goes, oh, that area is being touched. We better fix the impulses and change it back to where it should be. It's kind of like pressing the reset button. Uh-huh. And the patients can do that themselves.
So, like, if you have a numb area,
right? Numb is different than dysesthesia.
Okay. How is it different?
A numb is where their feeling is not quite there. That can be because the blood flow is not flowing, or there's a muscle clamping down on the nerve, causing an inflammatory response, decreasing the sensation. Dysesthesia is where the nerve itself has been injured.
Uh-huh. So, like, that could be in a car wreck or... Mm-hmm.
Stroke,
some other kind of, okay.
Car wreck.
Diabetic neuropathy as
yes.
well.
Okay. And so then by touching the area that feels weird,
mm-hmm.
not pins and needles then.
Not pins and needles. That's a different treatment.
See, there's so many different feelings that people describe of what is weird with their skin or their body, their arm, their leg.
And
right,
that's what
their
I
face.
Love about neurology is it's so interesting and everything is so different. I first became interested in it in naturopathic school. It was just my favorite class. And I also worked with Dr. Youping Qin, as an intern in the Chinese medicine program. And he does sports medicine and recovery from injuries and also works with nerve damage in tandem with a neurologist or anyone else the patient would have to help them. And he taught me a technique called Bagong. It's 8 points that are around your head. And it's done in cycles of 3. There's a sort of a central point at the top of the head. Many people have a little indentation or a lump there. And you have these 3 circles that come out from that, one an inner circle, one a middle, and one an outer. And one treats each of these circles alternatingly at different visits, and it's been tremendously helpful for my patients as well as for his. And he's, of course, treated many more than I.
Now, he's doing this for sports injuries.
Actually, for strokes and other neurologic injuries.
Oh.
That's another part of his work.
Oh, so this is a stroke treatment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. And does it, I mean, it recovers function?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it does.
I mean, as in, like, I have one arm that's all curled up and doesn't work and I'm dragging my leg, that kind of?
Once again, that would take longer because, as with any other form of medicine, when someone's had a stroke, you want to get to them as soon as possible because then you'll have the fewest sequelae left and that's when the medicine is most efficacious. You can have some recovery of long-term sequelae, but it is harder.
Much harder.
I've had someone I've worked with who has neuropathy and that's gotten a lot better. I was actually really pleasantly surprised that he feels after every treatment that he has more sensation in his hands and feet, and that's astonishing. Some people, it's a little bit, they're a little bit less amazing and mm-hmm. miraculous. This seems to be someone who's really sensitive to energy flows.
He also has had that problem for 6.5 years. He found us after close to 6 years after the injury, and so he's getting his function back.
Most people are told, you know, what you have after like 2 days, well, that's it. And there's very little rehab done with people that have been in a stroke.
It's unfortunate because we can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with George Muse as an intern at UBCC, and he's a chiropractic neurologist. So I got to work with multiple people who've had strokes, various other infarcts, and all kinds of neurological issues.
So you know a lot more than the garden variety chiropractor about what's possible then.
Oh, yes.
Right? You saw firsthand people getting better.
Oh, yes. We had one patient who it took her 25 minutes to walk down the 150-foot hallway. After 12 visits, she was walking down that hallway in 4 minutes.
Oh, wow. So when she was initially walking down it, was she dragging a leg? Was
oh,
it that
yes.
kind of, it was that, yeah. Wow. And this is chiropractic kind of work?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I think that's something a lot of people that have had a stroke don't even think about. But then, Margaret, there's something that you're doing with them as well, mm-hmm. right? It's not all just Seth. Or is it?
No, it's also me. I do the Bagong treatment that I described, and also specific acupuncture points for the person's whole syndrome. A lot of things in Chinese medicine, you might have five people who've had a stroke, but each stroke presents a little differently in terms of the elemental imbalance in the body. So I work also with specific points to that person's case. And one way I assess them is, besides the history that they give me, palpating their pulse and looking at their tongue. The latter, of course, is quite fun to convince people to do. Yeah, stick out your tongue. Oh, it's grubby. You don't want to see it. No, no, I really do need to see it. And no, please don't scrape it or wash it before you come, because I need to see what's going on there. It's an assessment tool. And after a little bit of comic moments, it does at least let me get to see also if cranial nerve 12 is working. And with some brave souls, I can give them herbal formulas. There are some wonderful herbal formulas for neurologic problems. Again, it's formulated specifically to that person and his or her presentation. I saw a lady as a student while I was an intern who had what might have been early Parkinsonism. I'm not sure exactly what the etiology Western-wise was for this, but she had a tremor just of her left arm. And my colleague and I, with under the supervision of our physician, made up a formula that was ground up and then rolled together into this honey paste, and it really helped her. So with long-term conditions, with chronic conditions, often the herbs are really, really helpful, because this is something they can do on a daily basis and tends to have a more lasting effect.
Wow. And so her tremors went away?
When I last saw her, it was much resolved. It was not completely resolved. And that's, of course, one of the hard things when you're a student and you only see a person until you graduate. But she had gone from almost sort of smacking herself in the face while dressing to a really minor tremor.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
She used to find it very annoying. She'd grab her arm and sort of stop it, and then it would worsen the situation.
So grabbing it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. It was like... some movie where some guy starts to do something funky with his left arm. Oh, Dr. Strangelove, and he grabs it with the other arm and sort of pulls it down.
Right. It's not funny if it's happening to you, though.
No, exactly.
Right. And what about other, like, you know, head trauma? You know, people, whether in a car accident or other, just, you know, like falling, hitting your head on something, or not hitting your head, but just having a pretty good concussion. Mm-hmm. And having head injuries from that, you guys work on that, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
That's called minor traumatic brain injury. There actually is an outcome assessment form that we give people to determine what's being affected and how severe it is.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you use?
It was one I got from Daniel Dock.
Uh-huh. Is it the Rivermead?
No, it was one that he made.
Okay. There are a bunch of assessment tools, and you can get them online, and... Mm-hmm. You can pull them up yourself and see where you rate on that. If you have a high score, you got a head injury.
Oh yes.
And it doesn't get better just by time. It needs some attention. Yeah.
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 And we do work with a number of neurologists as well.
Oh, great! In Portland.
Yes, they're in Portland. They are not nearby.
We usually send people to the OHSU Neurology Clinic for co-management. Mm-hmm. And we do use a lot of assessment forms for people. It's really helpful to determine a baseline of their condition and then to assess them as they progress. Mm-hmm. The Oswestry disability indices are very good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are commonly used by lots of us.
Yes.
We use them. I think they're very helpful. So what do you teach? And do you teach at the acupuncture part or the naturopathic part?
No, I teach ethics and jurisprudence, and I also teach how to write your master's thesis. So a lot of our students come from science backgrounds and so haven't written something since their undergraduate days and would like to have some more guidance than simply working with their advisor. That frees the advisor to work on issues of content, and then I help them with grammar, syntax, style, all of the editing parts.
Wow.
And I love working with them.
That's great. I don't know what it's like in the naturopathic and the acupuncture boards, the licensing boards for... dealing with ethics issues, but do the students pay attention in the ethics class?
They do, yeah. And this is my first time making it into a retreat format, and we do a lot of case-based learning and a lot of exploration of what it means to create the sacred space of the great physician. that this is a place of great integrity. This is a place of humility and honesty and coming before patients with a listening heart.
And clear boundaries.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Confucian thought, being a good physician is no different from being a good person. There are, of course, certain things specific to the profession, but nobody should be sharing that which should not be disclosed, that somebody shares with them. People need to regard one another in an atmosphere of respect and kindness.
Mm-hmm. But also the boundaries, boundaries delineated that... how easy it is to cross over a boundary to inappropriate behavior for some doctors.
And that's why I love teaching the course, because as a physician in a small community, I feel I can share, well, many times you have just a small pool of people, and it's really easy. People see you and recognize you and say hi to you, and all the while you're being careful of being friendly and not shunning them, but not disclosing to the people around you how you know them.
Right, right. And of course, people will come up to you and in the most public of places and ask questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. I've had people yell across the street, "Hey, my back's a lot better." Yeah. And then I have to tell them, "Well, I'm so happy we'll talk about that more next time we see each other."
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge being in a small community for everybody knowing. Of course, if they don't have a problem with knowing that you're their doctor, it doesn't matter. You know, they're obviously giving you permission to,
yeah.
to share.
And we're also active in local theater, so we do some things in our community.
Uh-huh. So people see you in that way as well.
Yeah, most certainly do.
Uh-huh. That's great. Are you in something right now?
No, we've had some family events over the summer that interfered with performance and rehearsal schedules, so we're going to next audition for something in December.
Yeah.
Oh, in December. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be in one of the winter shows. I don't know which ones yet.
Oh, neat, neat. Yeah, maybe in Cannon Beach or maybe in Astoria.
It depends upon the choice of the director. We just have to volunteer an audition.
And when the Coaster does musicals, they come to Astoria usually for a weekend performance at the Liberty Theater.
Yeah, we were in My Fair Lady, and so we got to go and be at the Liberty Theater.
I think we drove our patients crazy with the Cockney accents because we couldn't stop.
We had to practice that almost continuously to make sure that we were in character.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Oh, how fun.
We occasionally do lines with each other.
Occasionally. Well, you're the closest person to practice lines with. When you're in a play, you have to practice with somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And our songs, too.
Uh-huh. And so if there was anything like a message that you wanted to impart to people, you know, just the general public, is there something you'd like to shout out there?
Have more joy in life. Magnify the joy. Share love with others and with yourself. Enjoy nature.
Seth?
Eating colorful fruits and vegetables. 8 servings is the equivalent of 75 milligrams of aspirin.
In terms of blood thinning?
Anti-inflammatory.
Anti-inflammatory and pain relief.
Awesome. Well, of course, also eating all that stuff fills you up so that you're not going to eat some other stuff that would be the opposite of that.
And it helps keep one regular.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Thank you very much. My guests have been Dr. Margaret Hemet-McDonald and Dr. Seth Goldstein, and they are in practice together in Seaside. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll do it again. Next week, Leo Mock, a gardener from Scappoose, will be here. We'll be talking about compost. He's written a book on compost. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday morning.